You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast. Here on the Locked On Podcast Network, thank you for making us part of your regular routine. We're here for you whenever news breaks, whenever you need to get your Celtics fix. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Sam Jampacker, Jay King, the three of us. It's a tripod, people! And we're talking about Ray Allen, who just hopped on the Anything is Potable podcast. I love this. We're podcasting about another podcast. But anyway, he talked to Kyle Draper, NBCSN. Their whole Anything is Potable podcast series was great. They didn't have Ray Allen in any of them, so now they got Ray Allen. He went through a ton of stuff. Initial reactions, fellas. The thing we were just talking about before we started recording was, I really feel like Ray Allen could be a great politician.
I just think he's handled the breakup, and the other guys have too, as pettily as possible. It has just been the dumbest. Like, this is 6 years later now. The guy's about to go into the freaking Hall of Fame next week, and he's still talking about his rift with Rajon Rondo and the Big Three. Like, just get over it, guys. This should be a celebration of everything Ray Allen has done, everything that he did for the Celtics, everything he did for the NBA, and instead he's kind of...
I don't think he went to Drapes and was like, you better ask me about, like, Rajon Rondo. Like,
he wrote a book about it, Sam!
He did, but that's a book about his career, so he's gonna... It's his memoir about his career, so he's gonna talk about it. It's not like he agreed to come on this podcast because he was really trying to get his Rondo takes out. Like, they talked about everything. Of course, Draper's going to ask about it, and then he gave it, like, a response. Like, I don't know what you want Ray Allen to do in this situation. He agreed to do a podcast and then answer the questions asked.
The only reason it's still a question is because of how long both sides have been feuding.
It's been 10 years. Like, I don't know. I feel like at the heart of all of this is KG and Pierce kind of feeling like they might have gotten jobbed out of another ring. Like, a lot of people have one ring. Getting two rings, and I think one of those guys might have said something once upon a time. Getting one ring is, like, a lot of guys have it. Getting two is something, like, really, really special. Now, KG's knee injury probably cost them one. They missed out on more opportunities because... I'm just guessing that Ray leaving was basically the beginning of the end. And those two guys, Pierce and KG, probably felt like they had a lot more to give. And if Ray Allen had just stuck around or left, quote unquote, like a man, then they would have at least been a little bit better off. They just didn't like the fact that A, that they didn't get another chance to get a ring. B, he left the way he did. And C, that he went to the team that was their direct competitor for said ring, and then he actually won one down there.
Well, they weren't going to get another ring anyway. That the year after he left, they lost to New York in the first round. That team was done. Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, who carried that team for a long way, were just about to lose it when he left. Rajon Rondo, was that the year he got hurt? No, he got hurt the following year, right?
Yeah, at the trampoline park.
Yeah. No, but the ACL.
the ACL injury. Oh man, I lost track of when the ACL injury was. It was after he hurt his ACL, I think, in that playoff run, didn't he?
No, he hurt himself in January of.
Oh, right. Okay.
Or February or whenever it was. Let me hit the Google machine.
Yeah, but it doesn't even matter because I get your point. But
they weren't going to win another title.
You and I can say that. We can sit there and say for real, yeah, they weren't going to win. But those guys, they have the egos, and the egos that are necessary to become great players, but still egos nonetheless, and they probably felt like that they had a chance to win. And him leaving cost them a chance to win. There's no doubt in my mind about that. They knew that they could have put a run together, or they felt they could have put a run together, even though we knew that they probably couldn't.
Yeah. It feels like most leaders pissed off that he went to the Heat. Like, the team that kicked their ass in 20, or not, didn't kick their ass, but like kind of ripped their hearts out in 2012, and then they ended up winning the championship. Like, if Ray Allen ended up on the Jazz and just didn't, like, it didn't mean anything, I feel like Kevin Garnett's not as upset. Feels like KG and Rondo are the only ones who are still, I guess Ray and Paul seem cool now, but KG and Ray and Rondo still definitely have beef.
Can I just butt in here to say, this is probably my least favorite topic in the history of the world at this point.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I agree. Like
it's so stale, and it's so stupid.
But it keeps coming up.
All sides have been so petty. But you're right. It keeps coming up. And Ray's going into the Hall of Fame. And it's obviously questions are going to be asked about what the hell happened there and what's the deal with him, with those guys, the relationship there. And the more he talks about it, the more I feel like it just puts a rift in between those guys. And the more we have to talk about it, and the more I'm just like, what the hell? I hate all this crap. I wish.
You guys want to talk about more things from 2012?
I wish everybody else would shut up about it. I just think it is the most played out storyline that nobody cares about anymore. Even though, like, it elicits a reaction, right?
But seriously though, people, you just say Ray Allen on Twitter, and people lose their minds. Like the hate for Ray Allen is still very, very real. I, by the way, I've never had that hate. I've never had it. He's a free agent. He can go wherever the hell he wants, even to the direct competition. So I said the same thing about Kevin Durant. I don't care. These guys can go where they want to go. I'm very pro player in this situation. In most situations, I admit that. But free agency is there. It exists. There's no unwritten rule. You don't have to run it by your teammates if you don't want to. You just go and do what you feel like you need to do. In this podcast, he said that he wanted to stay in Boston. Again, he's being very politically adept here. He's saying all of the things that he needs to say to try and get himself, kind of make himself look good. But basically what he says is, all of the other guys, the year he went to Miami, all of the other guys were getting their contract extensions. They signed Jason Terry, and basically he says, if they wanted me, they would have taken care of me right away. And the fact that they waited and waited and waited, he just said, well, forget it. And that's why he said – that's why he ended up going to Miami, or at least going into free agency saying, I'm probably going to go somewhere else. But, yeah. You know, hey, whatever. But that's – look, he still talks about it. He wrote a book about it. I don't know why he wrote the book. This is the thing that really bugs me about this, and the one criticism I really have about Ray Allen. Why write this dumb book? Why? Do you need the money? Are you hurting for cash? I wouldn't see him as the guy that wastes his cash. He doesn't seem like that type of guy. But why write it? Why are you so desperate to get this side of your story out and basically shit on everybody? And at a time where it seemed like, remember all of those guys went on to Area 21 and it seemed like yeah, they'd be kind of open to Ray and burying the hatchet. Pierce said it on TV. And then all of a sudden, Ray comes out with a book and is like, well, let's light this friggin' tinder on fire again and start it all over again.
Yep. And here we are talking about it. Yay!
I don't know what I want to read less, a Gordon Hayward blog post or a Ray Allen's book.
Okay. Oh,
God.
Speaking of people who don't need the money, why is Gordon Hayward slinging Daddy's Always Happy merch?
Well, it's for charity. It's for charity is what he's doing it for. And this is,
just give some of your money to charity. Don't sell Daddy's Always Happy gear. And he went on Instagram. I was actually dying laughing. He went on Instagram asking people to send him like tweets and whatever about why Daddy's Always Happy. And I was like, that could go pretty poorly. That could.
Oh, yeah.
Some strange responses there. I look forward to those, hearing about those emails.
Yeah.
I wish we could read all of those.
I fear those. Look, the only thing that bugs me about this is that I feel like he's taking some of the meat out of my ability to shit on him for trying to sell these dumbass shirts, but now they're going to charity. And so it's like, all right, I can't really say anything about it because it's going to the Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children. So if he can raise money to help that organization, then it doesn't matter what he's actually selling. He can sell whatever he wants.
Donate your own money, bruh.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess, but
donate some of that $28 million, bro.
he's trying to make that a thing. He's just trying to make Daddy's Always Happy a thing. It's very.
It was really funny. The video was really funny, but I'm not convinced that this merch will be big sellers.
It's gonna be a great Father's Day gift for all the suburban dads out there. They are gonna love it. That's gonna be hilarious to them. Anybody who's listening to this podcast who's got like 2-3 kids and you get a Daddy's Always Happy shirt, it's kind of funny. But that's about it.
See, I think it's going to be more successful in the ironic, like in the kind of the raunchy emails that he could get. That's where I think that shirt's really – that's where their market is.
You think there's a 20-something group that's going to buy Daddy's Always Happy just ironically?
I mean, that's mostly what the internet is ironic shit posting. So I think if that's how it's going to take off, I think that's its lane.
Well, yes, I get that. But like, this is so bad. I guess
he just needs to be better at being online. Like, he's not very like, I know. No. He's a gamer, but he's just not a good poster, not very good at being online. He needs to follow around Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier has some great shirts. I'm only fucking with Puma. Like, that's a great shirt. That's made for the internet.
That was a perfect thing. He said something in an interview that it was perfect, and they just turned that into a shirt. Boom, done. That's how you do it. Daddy's Always Happy. You just let that sink into the ether. Let it become a meme. That's where it belongs, in meme life. Daddy's Always Happy could have had a nice little meme run where he flops. Or maybe he benefits from some crazy thing, and then a Daddy's Always Happy thing kind of organically springs from that. To have T-shirts and all that stuff, nice
the
try.
Best
nice
is when
try.
The best is when he said that it should be chanted at Celtics games, because that is the creepiest chant I've ever heard.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a great cause. It's a great cause, but... sorry, Gordon. I really want to be on your side on this, but there's just no. Gotta find another thing. Just gotta find another thing.
Shut up and dribble, bro.
Do you guys watch The Shop?
Actually, I did. I really enjoyed The Shop.
You know, I didn't see it. I saw some of the clips, but I didn't see the whole thing. It looks fun.
I liked it. It was cool. I mean, it was just like actually just dudes hanging out like they would in a barbershop. I liked that Jon Stewart's the token white guy. I felt like he fit that role nicely. I more got caught up in like the Jason Whitlock response about like getting upset that the guys were cursing, which I thought was absolutely absurd.
Oh. That was so dumb. I thought that was the coolest part, is that you got to see those guys, especially LeBron, who's always kind of buttoned up.
LeBron is the most buttoned up like athlete, and he's always like most like he'll take a moment, breathe in, and give like a very nice political answer. It was very cool to see him just being authentic and like talking, and the fact that he was swearing and not like putting on his athlete voice was the most interesting part of the entire thing. I don't know what Jason Whitlock's talking about.
I never know what Whitlock's talking about.
Yeah, no, he's a bona fide idiot.
Whitlock has some wild takes. But yeah, I just thought that LeBron, I'd never really seen that side of him, like him just letting go and shooting the shit and kind of being funny sometimes. And I appreciated seeing that. It's cool that he's done that. And I think that's part of why he's done the uninterrupted stuff. And now this, the shop show, is that he wants to let people see a different side. And they were talking about some really cool topics, some really important topics. And then other times they were just shooting the shit, and it was all enjoyable. I thought that was really well done. I enjoyed it. I also did like, and Whitlock talked about it, and he was like all fucking mad about it, but Draymond Green sipping out of the goblet of wine in the park is fantastic.
You know, I don't know. I'm not even going to pretend what I saw the Whitlock response. I tried to watch, like I said, I didn't watch the whole thing. I saw the responses, and then I went back to see what the responses were responding to, and it seems pretty dumb. It's not really a barbershop. It's made up. It's a place where they went. Maybe it is really a barbershop, but it's not really the barbershop setting. It's just that's a place.
Was anyone getting their haircut?
There was one dude I saw getting his haircut.
I think LeBron was getting his haircut, or at least they were faking cutting his hair.
Yeah, something like that. But what bugs me the most is the reaction to what he's like, the clickbait attempts to capitalize on some of the things that he said without the context, like TMZ tweeting out like him saying white people were an acquired taste, when that is such a shitty
strong
headline.
Agree.
But it's such a shitty headline because it race baits people into clicking, and it doesn't really capture what he was trying to say.
Where, are you sure about that? You haven't even watched the show, John. It might have.
I watched that clip. I see the reaction, and I went back and I watched what he said about that, and coming from an all-black neighborhood and being distrustful and then growing into and earning trust and learning to trust and all of that. That's personal.
Learning what a pantry is. That was hilarious.
That was pretty funny. You know, like that's pretty funny. And instead of embracing the positivity behind that and understanding that coming from an all-black neighborhood and going into a majority white school and learning how to kind of accept, they accept him, he accepts them, and then you just become friends, you put the differences aside, become friends, is, I think, the moral of the story, rather than white people were an acquired taste. Like, just fucking, people just need to stop with, understand the context and just leave the clickbait alone for once. Leave it alone for once and pick a better headline so we can actually hear what he's saying. Because what ends up happening is everybody always reacts to that, the headline, and they don't go back and watch. You know, they don't sit there and say, geez, this doesn't make any sense, or I can't believe he would say that. And then you go back and watch it. I don't know. That type of stuff really bugs me. Here's a guy. I've never been a big LeBron fan, but here's a guy that's out there doing something different and being kind of authentic, and it gets reduced to something that was never the original intent.
Get him, John. Get him. Get him.
This is officially the most August 30th podcast we've ever done.
It is.
Yeah.
Talking about Ray Allen, a 6-year-old story. Daddy's always happy.
We have podcasted about podcasts. We have podcasted about a TV show. We have podcasted about an announcer's reaction to said TV show. This is elite August podcasting.
Look, we're the pod gods for a reason. We make interesting podcasts out of nothing.
Yeah, this is, I don't even know if this one was interesting, but we did our best.
Took the old college try. Sometimes you just got to take your hex.
All right. Well, I feel like that's a fair place to then shut it down. All right. So go ahead, subscribe to the podcast. You get a lot more takes like this if you subscribe. I think it's 5-star worthy. It better be 5-star worthy. It's 8. It's 11 p.m. on August 30th as we record this in the blazing heat in my sweaty little studio. Yeah, that earns 5 stars for sure. So go ahead and do that. Subscribe to the podcast. Spread the word. Tell your friends to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.